Tonight's service will be a communion service, and a few words about our communion practice here at Holden. To begin, all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we will receive the sacrament in three lines, and please follow the direction of the usher when you come forward. And you'll receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those. And the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have gluten allergies, please indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we will make a gluten-free host available to you. And if you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. And if you would like to read a little bit more about the theology of Holy Communion in the Lutheran tradition, in the hymnal on page 1166, you will find Luther's Small Catechism and his short description of the theology of Holy Communion. There will be an offering tonight, and 100% of our offerings are being given to Lutheran World Relief and for famine relief in the Horn of Africa, responding to the catastrophic famine that's currently going on there. And finally, our liturgy tonight is an original composition being debuted tonight by our musician, Matthew Olson. And so we are very privileged to be able to be encountering and praying with this music for the first time. And so we're all seeing this music for the first time, and so we're bringing our very best to it and are very thankful for this opportunity. And with that, I invite you to stand and turn to face the baptismal font in the rear of the village center for the order of confession and forgiveness.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who the creator of wind and rain, mountain and river, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world.
Amen.
Before God and in the company of our brothers and sisters, let us confess our sin. God of all,
we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have been judgmental towards others, avoiding looking at ourselves. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked to the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us and heal us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Pray.
A reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please the Lord. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for the one who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer consider him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything is new. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and the sower does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once the sower goes out with a sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Loving God, we ask your presence with us this night. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you take a stroll down the trail between Koinonia and Lodge 6, toward the creek there, and bear to the left, you will come upon a very strange sight. A gigantic hollow tree stump has a hinged door and a jaunty little shingled roof. If you are the right size, you can go inside. The Hobbit House, as it's known, is what is left of a great western red cedar. I love these trees. You can see some branches wreathing the baptismal font in the rear of the space. They have soft, fibrous bark and these evergreen, scaly, fan-like leaves that droop down gracefully in the trunk can grow 8 to 10 feet in diameter. These are among the most majestic inhabitants of our valley. We at Holden, I've learned, aren't the first to make surprising use of a red cedar stump. In 1898, a settler west of Port Angeles, Washington, put a roof on a very tall stump and made it into a family home and a U.S. post office. Native peoples in the northwest of the northwest coast placed newborns in cradles of red cedar roots with a mattress of bark. And this bark was also used to make clothing and baskets and rope. And because of its resistance to decay, the wood was used to make totem poles and longhouses and dugout canoes to pursue salmon and whales, as well as the nets and harpoons for catching them. The beauty and usefulness of the western red cedar was immediately apparent to explorers arriving in this part of North America when Lewis and Clark first encountered the western red cedar in northern Idaho. They called it the giant arborvitae, the giant tree of life. It's a curious thing that the western red cedar is not, from a naturalist's perspective, a true cedar. It is actually from the cypress family. But it is similar enough that the mistake has stuck. True cedars are native to Europe and the Middle East, the cedars of Lebanon we heard about in our psalm. The first Europeans in America, shaped as they were by biblical images and the tendency to think about North America in theological terms, saw what they wanted to see, even in the trees. They may not have been cedars of Lebanon or cedars at all, but they were the new dispensation, the cedars of North America, the arborvitae. So going way back in our cultural roots, cedars have had a hold on our imagination. In the ancient Near East, the majestic cedar was a symbol of kingship, the powerful and thriving nation. The empires of ancient Assyria in Egypt were compared to towering cedars. And this is where we pick up our reading from the strangest of Old Testament biblical prophets, Ezekiel. He writes in exile in Babylon, which was a time of political and theological crisis most of us could scarcely even imagine our way into. Jerusalem had been taken over by the Babylonians and their evil king Nebuchadnezzar. Its leaders, including the priest and prophet Ezekiel, were taken into exile. And it's into this context that Ezekiel speaks a word of hope to be found on the other side of all this disaster, of God planting a cedar tree on the mountain height of Israel. Jerusalem will be restored. A Davidic king will once again reign. The people's relationship with God will be restored. Shalom will again be known. And the symbol that captured all of this for Ezekiel was the symbol of the towering cedar tree. This was a powerful and well-known image right down to Jesus' own day. And when he is speaking about his movement and his message, Jesus invokes Ezekiel in a very unexpected way. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? His word choice here echoes Ezekiel, so that his hearers would have expected him to start talking about cedar trees at this point. And this would no doubt have been a very comforting image to people living under Roman colonial occupation. Heck, it would be a comforting symbol to us today, trying to understand what it means to live sustainably and ecologically, to have faith and hope living within an empire of a different sort. Let the kingdom of God be like an ancient Western red cedar growing next to Railroad Creek. Tell us about that, Jesus. Here's what he says. It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Where are the noble cedars? The mustard weed, for that is what a mustard seed grows into, is the greatest of all shrubs. Sit with that one for a second. Is that a little bit like jumbo shrimp? At the end of this, I can only guess that there is a gleam in Jesus' eye and a smile beginning to spread across his face as he stares into the eyes of his slow-witted hearers, hoping, praying for a spark of life, a little spunk. Imagining this scene, Nadia Boltz-Weber writes, I can see everyone's jaw dropping, totally scandalized and offended, while one awkward guy in the back laughs out loud after before realizing that no one else thinks this is funny. But it is funny. It's a joke. A holy sort of joke. Holy hilarity, anyone? Meant to open us up, to the world of unexpected reversals Jesus came proclaiming. Frederick Buechner wonders about this. He writes, "Is it possible to say that it is only when we hear the gospel as a wild and marvelous joke that you really hear it at all? Heard as anything else, the gospel is the church's thing, or the preacher's thing, the lecturer's thing. Heard as a joke, high and unbidden and ringing with laughter, an infinite jest. It can only be God's thing." The joke, of course, is on us. Our expectation of how the world is and ever will be upended by grace that breaks into our world in ways we couldn't possibly have seen coming. We expect to be told the kingdom of God is like a noble cedar, a giant arborvitae. And instead, we're told it's an invasive little weed, always getting in the way, tenacious and difficult to eradicate. We expect a life of faith, if it is good for anything at all, to lift us above the common lot. And instead, we're told that whoever wants to be first must be servant of all. We expect Jesus to offer hope and security and a retirement plan we can count on, and we find him a scorned man, naked and dying. This is not unfolding as we would have imagined. But maybe that's part of the setup. Take a look around at all this religious rigmarole that's so familiar to us. The venerable hymns, the solemn traditions and rites, the ministers in their snazzy robes. We use lots of exalted language for what is going on when we gather for worship, but you don't have to scratch very far below the surface to be pretty underwhelmed. Bunch of ordinary people. Here we are. An identity founded in washing in common water, with a promise spoken, child of God forever. A little piece of bread in the hand, a sip of wine on the lips, a few words. This is Christ for you. It's so ordinary. We might expect something more. After all, it seems like such ragged little mustard weed stuff compared to our grand cedar tree expectations. But this seems to be the humble way, the hidden way, hidden except to the eyes of faith, that God bears us into resurrection life. Our faith, our amen, is our beginning to get in on the blessed joke, the holy gleam brightening in our eyes, our laughter beginning to join God's. I'm not ready to give up on the Western red cedar. The sight of these trees, or a solitary ponderosa pine on a rocky outcrop, are the sorts of things that make me daily give thanks for the chance to live in this valley for a time. But it's the mustard weed kingdom of God, so unlikely and so joyous, and such a gift beyond all measure. that helps me give thanks for the grace of it all. Thanks be to God, and amen. For our hymn of the day, hymn number 880, we will sing verses 1 and 3. For verse 2, the orchestra will interpret the words, inviting us to read them and enter into the musical interpretation of the words. And then we will sing as an assembly verse 3. Please stand. Response to each of the petitions in our prayers of intercession. They can be found in your booklet.
With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us release our prayers to God. Mountain and valley, you bring low the high and make high the low, so that we meet and become one. We pray for preachers, teachers, poets, writers, artists, cooks, mavericks, housekeepers, gardeners, and all who proclaim the mystery of the kingdom of God in word and deed. God of seed and leaf and root, we give you thanks for all that sprouts and grows, though we know not how. We give you thanks for crops and vegetables, for the trees of the field and the birds of the air, for the mystery that is your creation. Past, present, and future. All that you have made is good, and yet life is not perfect. We pray for all those who seek healing and relief. We pray for all those who we name now in our hearts and on our lips. God of smallest seed and greatest shrub, you are invasive, surprising, and hard to get rid of. We pray for all gathered here that you teach us to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting that you make all things new. We pray especially for fathers and those who provide fatherly care for others. God of springtime and autumn, of arrivals and departures, you watch over our going out and our coming in. We give you thanks for your holy people of all times and in all places. Send us forth to scatter seeds of mercy until we join with all the saints in the fruit of eternal life.
Our hopes and prayers. O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. Please stand as the gifts are brought forward.
I Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Invite the young children, if they would like, to come and gather up close around the table so you can get a good view. Anyone who wants to come? Come right up here. It's easier to see when you're short, if you're up close. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Please stand.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.